Heavenly Father, we are extremely grateful. We thank you for your wonderful presence in our midst. We enter into your word this morning with the reverence that your word deserves. We're fully aware of our human limitations, the limitations of the human mind, to delve into the infinite wisdom of God that is compressed into this written word. Consequently, we ask for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I would speak as I should as an oracle of God. Secondly, Father, I pray you put the same unction and anointing on the ears and the hearts of all those that will hear me today, those who are hearing me physically present, who are physically present, and those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, wherever they are all over the world, that this word will have free course, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to become more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. For thy prayers I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in more than sufficient measure to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men, so that they will become doers of the things which they hear, and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word, Father, that I might do it with precision. Redeem the time, Lord, and speak only what you want me to say. Bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing in their individual life, said, amen. Amen. We're going to continue our study in God's word. We're finishing off, by the grace of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And in our last lesson, we stopped, I believe it was verse 12, somewhere there in about 13, where we stopped, where Paul was saying that they should be strong and of a good courage. I particularly remember that because that is such an important injunction that the Apostle Paul gave unto us through this letter to the Corinthians. And let's just read that scripture again. I believe it's in verse 13. It says, watch ye, I didn't hear you, and stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men and be strong. Can I have that in the New International Version, if you will? That's a modern translation that, you know, resonates more with us. We say, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of what? Courage. And be strong. And we saw this, that God said this exact same thing to Joshua. When Joshua was about to lead the people into the promised land, God, knowing these challenges that were going to be ahead of them, he said it about four or five times. He just kept telling him, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. And we looked at this fact that some of the people who were cowardly, the 10 spies in particular, you know, they were cowardly because they didn't have the understanding, the revelation of the reality of God's presence that was with them and the power of God that was available to them to overcome the challenges. All they saw were the physical challenges which they had. They saw the sons of Anak, they saw the high walls, and today it's not any different. When we look at our lives today and we look at the promises of God and we look at what the Bible has said and we look at what we actually are experiencing, it's enough to make you discouraged. Because there's so much that the Bible has said that we're not seeing. Hello, somebody. Yet, the scripture tells us here, you know, go back to that 1 Corinthians 16 in the New International Version. He says, be strong. He says, be of a good courage. God knows you're going to be intimidated by giants. Let's use that expression. You know, the giants in your flesh, the giants in your mind, the giants in your emotions, the giants in your body, the giants in your finances, the giants in your circumstances, the giants in your nation. Hello? Hello? Oh, yeah. God knows that. But he said, be strong and of a good courage. Now, the difference between Joshua and Caleb and the other 10 spies, which we will use to typify the majority of the church today, is that Joshua and Caleb saw the same things. They saw the same giants. They saw the same walls. They saw but they were not intimidated. They were of a good courage because, apart from the fact that they saw the physical, they also saw the spiritual. They also saw that God was with them. Because the same God that brought them out of Egypt was with them. The God that drowned Pharaoh and his armies in the Red Sea. The God, you know, that brought all the different plagues, you know, upon the people of Egypt. Finally, the plague of the firstborn that finally, you know, forced Pharaoh to release them. So when they considered, they did not live in denial. They didn't say the giants were not there. They did not say that the walls were not there. But they said, in the light of the God who is with us, amen, they are bread for us. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. And that is, that's what gives you courage. Yes, sir. What makes a Christian courageous, you know, is the fact that he, in his heart, he should, and I use the word should because not all Christians are. You know, all Christians should be, but not all Christians are. You know, he should be able to see God and see the power of God that is available to him and know by that revelation that the challenges that he's facing, he will be able to overcome them. They're not giving him the courage to face them. What gave a 17-year-old boy the courage to face an 11-foot, 12-foot giant with a catapult? You don't do that. That don't make any sense. You're facing a guy who's 12, 13 feet tall, we're told by, you know, most accounts, you know, 11, 12 feet tall. He's been a warrior from when he was young. He has a big sword. His shield is so heavy, somebody has to carry it for him. And then you have a 17-year-old boy. Maybe he's 5'10", maybe about my height. We're not told David was very tall. You know, he probably just maybe 5 foot, maybe six. We don't know. You know, but relative, that guy's twice his height. You know, with all the strength and all the armor and everything, and they give David this armor, Saul's armor, which he wears. You know, and then he's uncomfortable with it. He said, look, put this aside. I've not tested it. He said, let me take the one I have tested. What gave David the courage to be able to face Goliath? The Bible says, you know, he told him, you come against me with sword and spear. He said, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel whom you have defied. And this day, what a boast. And the Bible says we should boast in the Lord. They're not wrong in boasting, though. It depends on what you are boasting in. Hello. Amen. He said, this day I will kill you. I'm just, that's a modern translation. And take your head off. And feed your body and the body of your soldiers and your army to the birds of the heaven. You know, you're glad I didn't believe him. I'll tell you what else. Saul didn't believe him. I'll tell you what else. The army of Israel didn't believe him. Everybody thought it was a suicide mission. Everybody, the Bible says they were all so afraid. No, not everybody. They held their breath. But hey, this boy, anyway, he's gone too far. You know, and hey, he races towards the giant with the catapult. 1,000 things could have happened. He could have slipped. He could have tripped. You know, or he, when he sent the thing could have missed him. What would have happened? But that would have taken him to pieces. There will always be possibilities of something going wrong. But you still have to trust God. Give the Lord a clap offering. There will always be something. That's where faith comes in. That's where, you know, and that's why you trust not only in your faith, but in the mercy and the grace of God to cover all those possibilities. To cover all the other possibilities. And he rushes towards the giant. The Bible says, and Goliath cursed him by his gods. He was trying to use spiritual power. You know, but of course it didn't work. It says there is no divination against Israel. And there's no enchantment against Jacob. All the curses didn't work. Are you listening to me? He raced towards the giant. And he took his catapult. What today call it catapult, his slingshot. Just one stone. And brother, God directed the stone with precision. And he hit the giant right in the middle of his forehead. You know? And the guy just fell down dead. We don't even know if he died, but at least it stunned him enough to fall him down. So by the time David got to him, he was still slightly unconscious. Just took the sword and cut his head off. Are you listening to me? But the lesson in that, we're talking about good courage. And the lesson we learn from all of this is this. The only thing that can give you courage is the word of God in your heart. What was the difference between David and Saul and the rest of the army? What was the difference between Joshua and Caleb and the 10 spies? It were 300 years in between, 400 years in between, but the lesson is the same. And in 2,000 years later, this lesson is still the same. The Christian without the word of God in his heart will not have courage. He'll be so afraid of so many things that can happen, and sure they can happen. Hallelujah. But God's mercy and grace will cover for you. Amen. Are you listening to me? Put the word in your heart. Put the word and the Spirit of God in the power of the Holy Spirit, so you have revelation. So when you are approaching the giant, you know you're not approaching the giant alone. You're not approaching the giant in your own power. And the God that helped you before, David had a history, the lion and the bear. That's what gave him courage and said, he said this uncircumcised Philistine. He said, I've dealt with the lion, I've dealt with the bear, this guy won't be different. And God honored that faith. So, dearly beloved, let's get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It says, be on your guard. What does that mean? That's why I like the modern translation. Be on your guard is be on your guard. You know, a good soldier is vigilant. That's the word. I'll be talking probably more about that in my main message today. You know, see, with the thoughts, especially with the thoughts. See, most Christians are careless at the thought level. Very careless. No vigilance. Any and everything just walks in and out. Amen? By the time they are aware of something, the enemy is already inside. Hello? But a good, that's why in warfare, well, in modern warfare, it's still the same, you know, because you still have infantry, you know, they always set a watch. When maybe the other soldiers are sleeping, because, you know, they there's always somebody who is on patrol. And he'll be, you know, watching for anything that the, you know, enemy troops may be trying to do and all of that. And, you know, after some 6 hours, something, another person takes over. You know, but it's always, you know, that is what God, no one is teaching us every 6 hours prayer. That is a Christian that is watching. He's on guard. He's on his guard. Many of us are not on our guard. They stand firm in the faith. Be of good courage. I want to talk a little bit more about this morning. Be strong. How are you going to be strong? I already mentioned it, but for completeness, I will quote the scripture. You know, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power. He's telling you how to be strong. How? I'm not strong in myself. I'm not strong in Olubi. I'm strong in the Lord. My strength does not come from me. My strength comes from the God who is beside me. The God who is inside me. And the way I cultivate that presence and increase the presence of the God is that it's by the word and the spirit. Of course, and the blood. Talk more about that later today. You know, the cleaning with the blood, which gives access. The blood, the main purpose of the blood is just to give access to the power of the life of God, the power of God, you know, and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, so how am I going to be strong? I'm strong by being strong in God. So I make sure that Hear this. My connection with God, nothing tampers with it. Because that is the source of my strength. That is why I have to be vigilant about forgiveness, love, submission, humility. Because these are the factors that determine how effective that link is. If anything goes wrong with that, I'm like Samson with my hair shaved off. So I've got to. No wonder the scripture says, Solomon says it beautifully, you know, he says, you know, keep your heart with all diligence. That's your strength. This is the source of your strength. For out of it are the forces of life, the power of God that's going to give you victory over the challenges you're going to face in this life. This life is, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. It's not a negative confession. You know, we're so, oh my God, I don't know where we got all this. You know, I reject that. You can't reject that. It's foolishness. It not only is it foolishness, you know, it's presumption. It's also dishonest. If you're in this life, you will have tribulation. Now, the good news is you will overcome them. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But you will have tribulation. Yeah, a guy who's aware of the fact that he's going to have tribulation, he's going to be on his guard. Hello, somebody. He's going to keep his heart with all diligence because he knows that anytime tribulation shows up, he needs to have the power of God, you know, available to deal with that tribulation. So he's strong in the Lord and the power of his might by the blood. Ever say the blood? The word. And the spirit. I'm just summarizing, you know, there's a lot in that, you know, but you know, if you don't keep the word in your heart, you know, he says, thy word have I kept, but I might sin not against thee. You know, he says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst. These are detailed instruction that you can only ignore to your peril. He says, keep instruction, for she is thy life. You know, so the word, the way this thing works, there's no shortcut, folks, is you're on your guard, you're firm in the faith, you have good courage, and you're strong in the Lord. And the way you're going to do that is by keeping the word in your heart. Keeping the Spirit of God in your heart. And that's all the things we've been teaching for the last, you know, I've been teaching this, of course, for 30 years, but particularly in the last 12 years. You know, 2003, God instructed us to, I brought the keeping the love of God into the front burner. I've always taught on love, and all my books have the love of God inside them, but brought to the front burner. You know, and then this question of watching and praying always and praying in the spirit, you know, the traditional Christian understanding of prayer and preach that you have times of concentrated prayer. We call it quiet time. We get up in the morning and we pray for a few minutes in the presence of God. You know, we read one verse and call it, you know. And I look back, I also shake my head. You know, we read one verse, you know, daily bread or whatever we call it. You know, one little verse, you know, and we spend about 10 minutes and it's not going to cut it. Not today. Not with the kind of spiritual opposition we're facing today. That kind of, you know, I'm not saying, I don't despise that. And I'm not saying you have to start there as a baby Christian, you know, with other people praying for you and covering for you, which is fine. But we have to understand that we have to go beyond that. It's not just, you know, you know, you have to put the word in your heart. By reading the word and by listening to anointed prophetic apostolic preaching and teaching in addition to what you get in your local church. There's a lot in this. You know, when I look back over the years, I see, you know, the church deliberately because they do not want a higher responsibility, has deliberately oversimplified everything to keep the people babies so that they can take advantage of them and skin them. And they're dying on the battlefield. Because they're not properly, it's just like our soldiers, when they're not properly equipped and they're not properly, you know, don't properly armed, you're sending them to their death. So it is spiritually. You have to understand. No, I was quoting this scripture to somebody yesterday. You know, I said, the Bible says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. Trust me, he will devour you if you let him. That was a silly creature. I say, oh, he's not a lion. You bet. Oh, he is a lion. But you have a bigger lion in you, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Give the Lord a clap offering. But to say he's not a lion will be to deceive yourself. And he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplishing your brethren that are inside the world. He said he didn't. The Bible doesn't say the devil is not there. The Bible says, yeah, he is going around. And that's why he's warning you, so that he won't devour you. Now you got to be strong. So you need to put the word of God in your heart. You need to put the Spirit of God in your heart, you know. And there's no other way we can tell it to you than what the Scriptures tell us. The Scriptures are very, very clear, you know, about how we should do this. You know, there's the personal, there's the corporate, where you're listening to me now, you know, and all the whole thing synchronizes together. There's a synergy, you know. It takes what you're doing, couples with what we're doing, and it's together that the thing works and produce the kind of results God wants you to produce. You know, we taught and we teach, you know, that you need to pray at least once every 6 hours in the Spirit. What are you doing? You're boosting up your strength. So when anything comes, there's strength already available to deal with it. You don't wait until you're in a battle and then you now start looking for a weapon somewhere. You're dead. You're not dead in Jesus' days. Amen. Are you listening to me? So this is the understanding. When you understand these things, you begin to appreciate. You see, this is what the letter says. But the spirit behind this statement has so much behind it. Are you listening? Be strong. How am I going to be strong? I'm going to be strong by the word and the spirit. How am I going to do that? I'm going to make sure I read the word daily. I keep the word in my heart. I pray in the spirit, you know, regularly, consistently, you know. And that's how I get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. So that no matter what comes against me, what is inside me is stronger than what is coming against me. And I will always prevail. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, you know, causing us to triumph always. Triumph always. So we got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The next verse is verse 14. That's another, I can spend another week on that. You know, it says, do everything. This is the New International Version in love. Give this to me in the King James. God uses the word charity, which we're used to, you know. And look at the Amplified, if you will. Right. Let everything you do, I didn't hear you, be done in love. True love to God and man as inspired by God's love for us. I like that. That's quite comprehensive. So it's not just any love. You know, all kinds of love today. You say, oh, I love you, I love you. They don't even know the meaning of the word love. Hello? The love of which the scriptures speak is divine love. It's not just natural human emotion or physical love, which is sex, you know. The three Greek words, but there are more than three, there are about four, I think, you know, that are translated love in the New Testament. There's agape, which is the most important one, which is the one we're talking about, which is the love of God. You know, then there's philia, which is a kind of brotherly love, which has to do with emotional love. attachment. Then there is eros, which is the physical love, which is sex. And then there is another one, I don't know the name, I can't remember the word, you know, which means kind of affection a mommy has for a child. It's all love, but that's not the one he's talking about here. And in fact, all those other laws we crumble without this one. The scripture just came to me. You know, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit boosts me to remember. Do you remember when Jerusalem or Samaria was under siege and the women were eating their own children? What happened to the motherly love? Bible records it. They were eating their own children. Don't tell me they didn't love those children. They loved them. But when human endurance, when it broke down, that love, it dissipated. If you don't strengthen human love with divine love, human love becomes bankrupt. Under pressure. They say, but I love you. You see them 10 years later in divorce court. Hello? Fighting each other and exposing each other. It'd be looking like, hey, it'd be like drama. God forbid. Are you listening to me? I've discovered that the only thing that can hold you is God's love. The Yoruba people have a beautiful saying. I'll say it in English, you know. It says, if you don't eat yam because of the palm oil, you will eat the palm oil because of the yam. It's a beautiful proverb. You know, it's not talking about yam and palm oil. You know, that's the letter. But what does it say? You see, if you don't do something because of somebody, you would do it because of somebody else. Now, that translates in the context in which I'm speaking into this. You know, you love people not because they're good or they do nicely to you, because of God. When your love, that's why what the Amplified Bible here said is so important, inspired and empowered by God's love. See, when people don't even deserve love anymore, the only thing that now makes you love them is the love of God. You now don't do it because of them. You now do it because of God. But because of God, you now do it for them. Amen. That is why if you don't have God's love, under pressure you will crumble. It's just a question of time. Given the right mix of circumstances and situations, do you understand? That natural love will just... It's the one that God gives. And because, what kept Jesus on the cross? The love of God. He said, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. Ah, calm down. If you are the Son of God, let's see. He could have. He said so. He said, can I not presently ask my Father? And he will send 12 legions of angels. But he had a mission. He wasn't doing it. He was doing it for us, but he was doing it in obedience to the covenant that he had with his Father. And he would not break that covenant. Are you listening to me? The love of God is what inspires and empowers us to love men when men don't deserve to be loved. And so, when he says here, let all things be done with what? Love. And I discovered something about the Bible. It never exaggerates. You know, I was sharing with somebody recently. I said the Bible is a scientifically precise book. Those of us who, by the grace of God, we studied science and physics and all these kind of things, we understand the meaning. We appreciate the importance of precision when you speak. When you're using terms, you know, you don't just talk. If you say power, you know what it means. If you say, you know, work, you know, if you say force, you know, they're different. They're synonyms, but with precision, they mean different things. You know, the Bible is like that in many ways. In many ways, the Bible is like that. So when it says, let all, everyone say all. Say all. Turn to your neighbor and say, he said all, not some. He didn't say few. He didn't say many. He said all. Let all. Let all. Let all your things be done with love. Now I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. Please do not answer. Don't put your hand up. I do not want to embarrass you. How many of us do all our things with love? Don't put the hand down. You just failed the test. We do some of our things with love. But do we do all of our things with love? The answer to that question, obviously, is no, in great majority of cases. But God never told us to do what we can't do. So it means that there must be a way of doing it. In order to be able to appreciate and understand that, we need to understand what love is at the divine level. Now, God gave me this definition some years ago. It's to me, it's one of the greatest things God has ever taught me. And I am so thankful to God for it. You know, seeing the synergy of it. I've preached it over the years, but it became much clearer, you know, a few years ago. What is love? Love is discerning by wisdom, feeling by compassion, and doing by power what God would do in every situation. That is a practical, that takes it out of its emotional, wishy-washy context and puts it in a practical context that you can apply. That's what love is discerning by divine wisdom, desiring or feeling, a better word for that is feeling, that's where the emotional part comes in, by divine compassion, and doing by divine power what God would do. When I first preached this many years ago, I said, what is best? That's the word I used, you know. But revelation is continuous. You know, then I realized that, you know, what is best is what God will do. Now, so if I want to do all things with love, then it means that in all things, I have to do it with the wisdom of God. I have to do it with the compassion of God. And I have to do it with the power of God. That's the way I can do all things with love. This is what the Bible is trying to tell us here. You know, though Paul in his wisdom, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit given to him, just took a very great thing and just said it in one verse. But he had spoken in verse 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, he had in detail told us what love is, you know, in action. He's patient and kind, he's never envious and all of that. You know, and we did that recently, you know, some months ago. You know, but the point here is this. How do I do all things with love? To do all things in love, it means this. I have to daily, hourly, minute by minute, you bring it down to that level of precision, you know, be operating in the wisdom of God, be operating in the compassion of God, and be operating in the power of God. Then I'll be able to do all things with love. So even when I'm faced with something, what is going to dictate the way I respond in every situation is going to be the love of God. But then when you break that down, it's going to be the wisdom of God, the compassion of God, and the power of God. And there's only one way to do that. We go back to what we said in the last verse. It's the Word and the Spirit. It's the Word of God that's going to give you the wisdom of God. It's the power of the Holy Spirit flowing from your spirit into the mind, the will, and the emotions. It's a flow. You know, the flow of loving kindness, of gentleness, of goodness, of faithfulness, of meekness, of temperance, of patience. This, we call them the fruit of the Spirit. They're actually spiritual forces that are impinging, you know, acting upon the mind, the will, and the emotions, so that in every situation, it is what God is filling you with feel. That's what compassion is. I thought on that, you know, not too long ago. You know, compassion is not feeling what the people are feeling. I used to think that what it was. That's not what it is. It's feeling what God is feeling about what the people are feeling. Did you hear me? It's not feeling what the people are feeling.
is feeling what God is feeling about what the people are feeling. Because what God is feeling about one person is different from what God is feeling about another person, depending on the situation of the people.
Hello?
Hello?
So you see, God, you know, that's why people don't understand Jesus. Jesus was a complex, you know. When you look at the accounts of the gospel, you can wonder, what kind of guy is this? You know, the love of God, you know, and then he does something, because that's how God was feeling at that time. Then Deborah kicks the tables and overthrows, you know, the thing of the money changer. That's what God was feeling then. You know how God was feeling? This, my house has become a den of robbers. Kick him out. That was the love of God. At that time. Are you listening to me? Amen. Depends on what God is feeling. Jeroboam's wife brings her son to the prophet for healing. She is feeling, oh, my son, I want God to heal my son. You know, which is fine. And ordinarily, 90% of the time, that's what God will do. You know, but in that particular situation, you know, God told the prophet, he said, tell the wife to come in. He said, I know who you are. She tried to pretend, you know, and this child is not going to get healed in this situation. The reason is this, of all the house of Jeroboam, he's the only one that I found something good in. And I'm not going to leave him among this bunch of people to corrupt this child. Yeah. Don't ever forget this truth. The children belong to God. We are only custodians on the earth. And that's why we have to be very careful how we treat and train our children. Are you listening to me? God said, the child is a good child. So that was what God was feeling. It was not what Jeroboam's wife was feeling. Now, 90% of what would have missed God by trying to feel what the woman was feeling instead of feeling what God was feeling about what the woman was feeling. So, how do we do all things with love? By wisdom, by compassion, and by the power of God. There's a scripture that has been burning in my heart. I shared it about 3-4 Sundays ago when I was preaching on, you know, the kingdom and righteousness. You know, God is at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. That thing is a present, continuous reality. See, God isn't he didn't just work in me to will and do of his good pleasure this morning when I prayed, you know. On my way to church, he was walking in me to will and do of his good pleasure. Right when I was upstairs, he was walking in me to will and do of his good pleasure. When I come down here, you know, and I'm preaching now, he's working in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God is a continual work inside us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And as he's doing that work inside us, he's strengthening our will. He's working on our emotions. He's working in our body. So this reality of let all things be done with love is going to be effectualized practically by this. It is God who is at work in you. And the way he does that is by prayer, is by the word, is by praying in the spirit. And so that you are constantly, you see, I've come to understand so many things with greater clarity now. You're constantly allowing God to work inside. That is why God told the children of Israel, first of all, he said it to Joshua, and then later on, he said it to Moses, and then he said it to Joshua, you know, in a different kind of way, but the spirit, the thing is the same. He said, don't let this word of the Lord depart out of your mouth. He said, but you will meditate or think about it day and night, so you will observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Saying it through Moses, he said in Deuteronomy chapter 30, in verse 14, he said, the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest what?
do it. I have come to see and to understand that the instructions that are given us inside the Bible, one, they are not vain. Two, they are critical if we are actually going to be doers of what the scripture says and not just hearers only. So how is God going to work in you? You got to keep that word in your mouth. That's why it says when you sit down, when you walk, by the way, give me that scripture. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And interestingly, you know, amazingly, God told them this right from the Old Testament. Yes, so anybody in the Old Testament who practiced this, he was different. That's why Joshua was different. That's why Caleb was different. That's why Joseph was different. That's why David was different. That's why Daniel was different. They simply did it. The others looked at it and said, that's nice. But never did anything about it. You know what God said about Joshua and Caleb? He said, they have a different spirit. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that. I mean, they all had the same spirit. All of them were in the Old Testament. All of them were not born again. All of them, what did he mean? He meant they had a different attitude. They had a different, because you know what? They put the word and they put the spirit into their mouth and in their heart. And they had it. They didn't just do it on Feast of Pentecost. And they didn't just do it on Feast of Tabernacles. And they didn't just do it when they went to the temple on the synagogue day. They did it daily. So they were different. Amen. The guys who did it ceremonially, see, most people, up till today, most Christians are ceremonial Christians. They're Christians on Sunday, on Tuesday, and on Wednesday. And maybe Thursday. And then they behave, and that's only in the morning. Then by afternoon, they behave just like the devil until evening. Hello. I know people don't like what I just said. But you know, this is reality. This is the reality. Deuteronomy 6:7. Say, and thou shalt teach them. Open your mouth. Diligently. Let's say that again. Thou shalt teach them. Slothfully. Carelessly. And thou shalt teach them. Diligently. Unto thy children. And thou shalt. Talk of them. Notice the word talk. I won't talk about that in my main message later. You know, the mouth, we don't understand. The mouth is the portal through which spiritual power is released into this world. You don't say it, you don't do it. Trust me. You know why? The power to do it comes from the power that was released in saying it. Now, you're not saying it alone. We're going to get there in a minute. But saying it is an essential component to be able to do it. And thou shalt talk of them when you like. When you're feeling good. When everything is going well. Thou shalt talk of them. I didn't hear you. When thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Give this to me. Give it to me in the New International Version. Let's see the modern translation, how it says it. Impress them, I like that, on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Brethren, when is that? All the time. Now, I got to start close. Watch this. Why is that necessary? Why isn't it enough just to say it when you wake up? I'm coming. Why is it not enough just to say it when you're walking, by the way? It's too much wahala now. Why should I have to? I say when I get up.
But I said the same thing now. Then, when I got out of the house and on the way to the office, as I'm walking by the way, I say it again. But I just said it. What's the use of all this repetition? And then, when I'm sitting down, in the office in front of my computer, I say it again. But I just said it, just a few hours ago. Then when I get back home in the evening, I say it again. And then before I sleep at night, I say it again. And then I get up in the morning, I say it again. Wow! Why can't I just say it once? Even if it's once in a day, that's okay. You know why? It's a power system. It's a power system. Until you understand this, you will not appreciate and take with the level of severity and seriousness these instructions. It's a power system. What do I mean by that? When you speak, you release power. When you speak the first time, and that's why you can see it's four times a day. And then David brings this out when he says every six spaces. That's why we get every 6 hours and at every opportunity. You know what's happening? It's a booster. Those of us who did communication engineering in Imperial College, I understand exactly what they're talking about. That's what happens to your mobile phone. See, when a transmitter, when it releases power, it's power. It's power. It releases power into the air. Vroom! From the transmitting station. The power starts traveling through the air. But because of air resistance and other things, the voltage, or let's use the simple expression, the amount of power reduces. We call it attenuation. So when it reduces, if you don't boost it up again, do you understand? You're not going to get the same signal strength that you started with from your transmission station. That is why we have booster stations along the expressway. Because if Glo is in Lagos, and they are the headquarters, Airtel and all of that, you boost it, boom! It releases into the air. But by the time it's past, by the time it's getting to redeemed, do you understand? The signal strength is going down. So you have another station that takes that signal strength, puts it into the electronics, boosts it up, and amplifies and sends it out. Then it gets to Shagamo. They have another booster station. And that one now picks it up and amplifies it and sends it out. It's a power system. That is why if they don't do that, you won't get any signal by the time you leave Lagos. Is it because signal was not released? It was released. But if it is not boosted, the effectiveness of the signal becomes attenuated. It reduces over distances because of natural air resistance. That is exactly what happens when you pray. You release the power of God. I am patient and I am kind. Yeah. Into the air. Boom! Into the mind, the will, the emotions, the body. So you feel good for the first 10 minutes. And you're patient and kind until Sister X, who has been sent to perfect you, crosses your path. Hello, somebody. And then you don't boost that signal. And by the time the signal is down, Sister X just says something. You don't even remember you're a Christian. You just give her a good piece of your mind. Next, after you do, you now feel guilty. Ooh. And I prayed this morning, no. You boost every 6 hours and at every opportunity. So any Sister X you meet, or Brother Y, sometimes the brothers are even worse. Hello. There's enough patience to deal with him. Hello. There's enough wisdom to deal with him.
the right, what to say at that time, the Holy Spirit will just give it to you. And when you shouldn't say anything, the Holy Spirit will say, shh. Be slow to speak, swift to hear, slow to wrath. He says, let thy words be few. Sometimes not talking is what solves the problem. God is already working. God is already talking. Why don't you shut up? God's already talking to them in their mind. And sometimes your own voice will drown out what the Holy Ghost is trying to say and confuse the matter. I learned all these things by the Spirit and I'm still learning. Speak. The power is there now. When the power is there, whatever you think will now work. Because speaking and thinking work hand in hand. You release by speaking. You apply by thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Beautiful illustration God gave me is like a steering wheel. This, you know, we have what we call power steering. But no matter how good a power steering car is, if you don't put an engine inside, that power steering is not going to give you any power to take the car anywhere. The power steering just makes the steering, it just makes it more easy, easier for you to turn the wheel, you know, because of some hydraulic system. But the important thing is this, if the engine is what delivers power to the wheels, but interestingly enough, as powerful as that engine is, it is directed by the steering. Where you will finally wind up will not depend on the engine. It will depend on the steering. Where you finally wind up in your life will not depend only on your words. It will depend on your thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you speak the right thing, then you have to think the right thing. And then you will then do the right thing. Everybody speak. Yes, sir. Speak. Everybody say speak. Speak. Think. Speak. And do. Say it again. Speak. I didn't hear you. Speak. I didn't hear you. Speak. I didn't hear you. Speak. There's a signal level they want in heaven they haven't got. Speak. Think. Speak. And do. Those are the three simple secrets. And they operate even in the Old Testament. Look at Joseph. No Bible, no synagogue in Egypt, in a terrible place with terrible unbelievers and Potiphar's wife and all kinds of horrible people around him. He still shone like a light. You know why? The initiative is never with darkness, it's with light. The entrance of his word giveth light. No matter how dark it is where you are, if you put the word in your heart and you say it with your mouth and you pray in the spirit and you think it and you act upon it, it will dispel any darkness around you. Never use the darkness around you as an excuse. If Daniel could survive in Babylon, you can survive anywhere. Let us pray. Talk to God. You can survive anywhere. Nothing is more powerful than the word of God. The problem has been application. Now apply properly. Talk to God. Nothing is more powerful than the word of God. The entrance of his word gives light. How are you going to do all things with love, wisdom, compassion, power? By putting the word and the spirit. So every 6 hours, you put that word in again. Say, I confess my sin, Jesus' name I have life. Pray in the spirit. You are boosting that station. Once you see that thing going on, at another opportunity you have, you boost it again. Then between the boosting, your thoughts will be easy for you to use your thoughts. Just think it. Just say, Lord, thank you for this situation. Have mercy on this person. Do this. Do the wisdom will come. The power will be there to control your emotions. The power will be there to do the right thing. It works, folks. The problem is we don't work it. Talk to God. Speak, think,
and do. Let all things be done with love, with wisdom, with compassion, with power. All things. That is, you have to have those forces flowing in you 24/7. And God has told us how to do it. Pray well in the morning, then during the day you boost it all the time. You just keep boosting it.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed. Renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. Lord, I've come to know.
And Lord, I've come to know. As I see,
we'll be stripped away.
We'll be stripped away.
We'll be stripped away
by the power.
The power of your love.
Lord, I've come. Lord, I come to you. Lord, I come to you.
Lord, I come to you.
Oh.
want to put your hand on your forehead. Your forehead symbolically represents the position of your soul in your anatomy, both physical and spiritual. Physical, your brain is there, and spiritual, that's where your soul actually is. Your spirit is the inner man, and then the soul is the up there, and that's where it flows, the power of God flows into the body. Now put one hand on your soul and raise the other hand to God. The whole battle of Christianity is won or lost in the soul. The battle of faith, the battle of love, is all in the soul. And what you need to do as a Christian is to make sure that the life of God, the light of God, the wisdom of God, the compassion of God, the power of God is constantly flowing from your spirit into your soul, and of course then into your body, and then into the air around you. That's really, it summarizes it in a very simple way. You know, that's what the Bible, that's what all this is all about. Your soul is subject to so many forces. The ones come from your spirit, and the ones come from the air around you and your circumstances. Never allow what is coming from the outside to drown what is coming from the inside. And that happens to us so often. We concentrate so much on what's happening, and then we're not concerned what's happening on the inside, and then we get into a hole. Then we get deeper and deeper and deeper into a dark pit, and the mind now gets controlled by the devil and all of that. So you need to watch your soul and make sure you're born again. The nature of God is in your spirit, and once you have there that fountain of life, pushing it into the soul, and that's what you do with speaking, with thinking, and with doing. Lord, unveil. Keep that hand on the soul. Lord, unveil my eyes.
Let me see you.
It's not a song, it's a prayer.
To face the knowledge of your love
as you lead.
As you lead.
And Lord, renew my mind.
Lord, renew my mind.
And Lord, renew my mind.
As your will,
as your will unfolds in my life, in living every day.
Your love.
By the power of your
Lord, unveil my eyes one more time just before we pray. It's not just a song, it's a song, but it's a prayer. Lord, unveil my eyes.
Lord, unveil my eyes.
Let me see you. Say, Father, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, reminding me that I should do all things with love. And that your love is your wisdom, your compassion, and your power that will enable me to know, to feel, and to do what you would do in every situation. I understand that. Oh God, come and have mercy. Knowledge is one thing, Father, but doing is a completely different thing. And without your mercy and grace, I may know, I may understand, but I may not be able to do as I ought. And therefore, I ask now for a fresh release of your mercy, a fresh release of your grace to help me to practice what I have heard this morning, to keep this word, the word of wisdom, the word of compassion, the word of power in my mouth and then in my heart, in my thoughts and then in my actions, so that in every situation I will do what you would do and so do all things with love in Jesus' name. Nikato frenenges liprinitos kefrininga yekiko kerima katangi tolomesh tufrinins zehe yukuhumnskai likertolo munga tatushke frenes nukura katanga tushke likertolo mangarst shofre nangara katanduski fi yukotala jeleprika tonzeke hai nere ninkatolo mutu fresk sefre lupridika tushke fre lunga tolo mutu freshe lambra gama tolo lumbra tolo mutu freshe yokoro tolo mutolo limbra tolo mutu freshe tolo mangara zefrike tolo mangito fresk Tolamangura tushke frenens Zofri Yekatanga tushke fren Ninkatolo Liprdolo Nikitufridis Zofridilis Nikitangi toros Nikitoros Nufridilis Nufridilangaros Nikitufridis Nukutunduskehes Nikataras Nufridis Nufridilis Nukutungi tayas Nifridilis Nofredeles Nifis Nofredeles Nikatufes Nikitoros Nifres Tolomon Tufres Sheki Tufrenengast in Jesus' name. You put your hands up, please be seated. Just before I go and sit down, as we were praying, this thought came to my heart. And I believe the Lord wants me to share it. It's not something I have not said before. I have said it before. But because of the context in which what I preached this morning, and more importantly, the context of the times and the season in which we're living, this truth I'm about to remind us of takes great significance and relevance. The primary, I did not say the only, the primary reason why the baptism of the Holy Spirit came with the ability to pray in a supernatural language, call it tongues, is to release power and wisdom from your spirit into the mind and into the physical body and out into the air, so that the love of God can be perfected in you. That's the primary reason. There are other reasons, the gifts of the Spirit, the healing and all of those other things. But you see, all those things are just branches. The root is this one. That's why the apostle said, I show you a more excellent way. Tongues is very important. But it's not important just to use it for healing and deliverance and prosperity and getting visa and helping kill your enemies and all of those funny things. Those things are not wrong, though. Don't misunderstand me. It's just a question of priority. Without the Word and the Spirit, you cannot perfect the love of God in your life. which is what we're just talking about this morning. It's not possible. The Bible says, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, verse 13 and 14, it says it in the same way. It says, we know, you know, he abideth in us by the Spirit. It says, no man has seen God at any time. Say, but if we keep his commandment, we know that he's abiding in us and his love is perfected. The word perfected there, it means that we allow it to run its full course. It starts from the Spirit, then it runs through the mind, the will, the emotions, then it goes into the physical body, then it moves into the air around you. So you are carrying an aura. But when you come amongst people, that aura is there. Then people who normally would be antagonistic, something will just be making them. There's a saying we say, my wife and I, we say God gented them. That's a Olubi Sarah translation for gentle. Just make them. It's a spiritual force. That's what Jesus carried around him. Whenever Jesus went anywhere, when he starts talking, the servants are going to arrest him one time. They say, no man speak. They had guns and all that. Jesus didn't have any physical weapon. He said, no man. He said, why didn't you arrest him? He said, no man speak like this man. He said, you also have become his. They came under that influence. Now imagine if all of us had that. Not 10, not 15, not 20. 1,000. 100,000. 1,000,000. And we're carrying that thing. This earth will come under the influence of the kingdom of God. And that's why the context in which I've spoken is so prophetic and is so important. Let us practice. Once throughout the day, in your car, in the toilet, when you're moving, pray. Father, I confess that Jesus is the man of life, Lord. Give me wisdom, compassion to all. Pray in spirit. 2 minutes here, 2 minutes here, 5 minutes here. You know, and as you do that, the power of God will be there. So whenever you're in that situation, the first thing is, instead of opening your mouth, boom, and just think, Holy Spirit, what should I do? The thought will come. The right thing to say. The amount to say, the one that not should not be said, it will tell you. You know, just go. Your emotions will be under lock and key. You feel what God will feel. You know when you feel compassion for somebody. You know when a person is pretending and all that. You will know. You will know. God will see. You will see through the situation. The God we serve is a great God. It is time for us to release him. Let's release him into the air. Let's release him into our mind. Let's release him into our body. Let's release him around us. I tell you, you know, the whole world is coming to the church. People are looking. That's what I'm preaching is what everybody's looking for. Who doesn't like good thing? There is nobody on this earth who doesn't want something good in his life. Doesn't want wisdom. Who doesn't want compassion. Who doesn't want power. When we have it and we demonstrate it in a way that everybody can see, and they will say, surely God is inside you. Then shall come to pass that which is written by the prophet, where he says that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted above all hills, and all nations will flow into it. God have mercy on us and help us. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah.